text is John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Here ends our text. On Trinity Sunday, we confess the Athanasian Creed. Along with the Apostles and Nicene Creeds, it's one of the three ecumenical or worldwide creeds all Christians confess. First came the Apostles in the 200s, then the Nicene Creed about 325, and finally the Athanasian around the end of the 400s. The Apostles' Creed summarizes the Christian faith. The Nicene confesses the faith against those who don't believe Jesus is true God. The Athanasian Creed fleshes out the doctrine of the Trinity. Most know the creed for its length, but it's meant to be more than long. It's meant to be scary. Unlike the creeds we confess every Sunday, this one openly ties our salvation to believing it. Its Latin name is Quiquinque Vult. That Latin name comes from the first line and means whoever wishes. Whoever wishes to be saved must believe the faith confessed in this creed. Find anything like that in the other two? The Athanasian Creed makes five specific statements about salvation. Whoever will be saved, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, that is, the universal faith. "Except everyone do keep this faith whole and undefiled, without doubt, he shall perish everlastingly." He that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Again, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, the creed closes. "This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully and firmly, he cannot be saved." Clearly, pointedly, salvation for Jews, Mormons, Muslims, Unitarians, Buddhists, Hindus, and all non-Trinitarian faiths is absolutely rejected. Is that scary or what? That's not nearly as scary to me as the two verses before the last. Like the Apostles in Nicene Creed, it says Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. But then the Athanasian goes into downright scary details. "At whose coming, all men shall rise with their bodies and shall give an account of their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire." Go ahead, take a minute. Sift through your works of just the last week. Put them on the scales of judgment. On the right are your good ones, On the left are your evil ones. Which side outweighs the other? Scary, huh? The Athanasian Creed is meant to be scary. It offsets the two constant drumbeats of the world. The two constant drumbeats of the world, one of the world, one of the false church. Everyone goes to heaven when they die, says the world. And the false church says, no matter what your sin you're engaged in, abortion, living together, lying, stealing, homosexuality, prejudice, pride, doesn't matter. Jesus matters, and he gets everyone into heaven. The faith of the church denies this. And that's scary. However, the Athanasian Creed isn't only meant to be scary, but salutary, beneficial. It tells us salvation is not a matter of feeling or experiencing, but a matter of believing. I have lots of feelings. Sometimes I feel saved, forgiven, on my way to heaven. Other times I feel lost, guilty, on my way to hell. Sometimes, rarely, but sometimes, I experience the presence of God, the joy of God, the certainty of being his child. But most of the time, I don't. I don't experience baptism as anything other than water. I don't experience absolution as anything other than words. I don't experience communion as anything other than bread and wine. This creed says, whoever will be saved holds, keeps, thinks, believes what God has revealed. It says nothing about feeling forgiven, saved, or experiencing the Holy Trinity. Thanks be to God. In a world awash in feelings, where experience is the foundation of truth, the Athanasian Creed expresses the ancient faith in terms of objective, outside of me facts. How salutary. This creed is salutary because it focuses on what God has revealed and admits that God, in his essence, is incomprehensible. Not just God the Father, but all three persons of the Trinity. The Father, incomprehensible. The Son, incomprehensible. The Spirit, incomprehensible. Bothered by that Air France jet falling out of the sky? Wonder about the intractable pain of yourself or another? Frightened because you can't figure out what God is doing in these days when financial institutions, industry, and government are shaking? Do you expect to comprehend the incomprehensible? Do you expect God should only do things that make sense to you? If he did, there would be no incarnation, no cross, no punishing of his Holy Son in place of a world of sinners that hated him. Now, we're to the gospel reading. We should not presume to see or believe in God, his kingdom, or salvation apart from the man Jesus. Do you see that this is also what the Athanasian Creed confesses? After speaking in depth about the Trinity, it says nothing individually about the Spirit, as the other creeds do. No, it moves to a detailed confession of the person and work of Jesus. From out of the mystery of the Trinity, which no man can get his head around, the Athanasian Creed goes to Jesus, the man we can touch. He goes to Jesus, the man we can touch, taste, see, hear, and smell, even today, in his sacraments. The Athanasian Creed is meant to be scary and salutary, but it's not meant to be saving. Jesus does that. See how Jesus calls Nicodemus to himself. He tells this teacher of Israel, who is too proud to come to him by day, that he can't see God or his kingdom apart from the miracle of baptism that Nicodemus had rejected. Nicodemus thinks he's making a big confession when he says that Jesus is from God and that God is with him. But Jesus says, you don't know what you're talking about. You're blind to spiritual things because you rejected John's baptismal waters, which rebirthed people spiritually. Those statements of Jesus are to Nicodemus what the Athanasian Creed is to us. They knock the sarcasm right out of that proud church leader. From sarcastic, surely a man can't enter a second time into the womb to be born again, can he? From that sarcasm, Nicodemus collapses into, how can these things be? It's just too big for Nick, even as the Trinity is too big for us. We will come away with the Athanasian Creed. We will come away from the Athanasian Creed with our mind reeling if we end with the mystery of the Trinity rather than with the revelation of Jesus. That's where Jesus takes Nicodemus too. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you cannot see God or what he is doing because you don't have the Spirit. Jesus goes on to tell Nick that the reason he is able to speak of heavenly things while on earth is because he, the man Jesus, is in heaven even as he stands on earth. Now, our insert leaves off that last part, the last part of that verse. Only the King James keeps it. It's not because the Greek text doesn't have this. It's because it blows people's minds. Jesus says, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. Note well, it doesn't say God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, is in heaven. Oh, he always has been. No, the startling thing is that the man born of Mary is. The Athanasian Creed confesses this mind-blowing truth. It says, although Jesus is God and man, he is not two but one Christ. One not by the conversion of divinity into flesh, but by taking the humanity into God. In heaven, where the seraphim have to cover their eyes before the mystery of the Trinity. In heaven, where the four living beings covered with eyes chant endlessly, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty. In heaven, the man Jesus is. It's like when explorers find a cave of buried treasure. Only one can slide down the rope. The others eagerly call to him, tell us what you see. The man Jesus, in the midst of the councils of the Holy Trinity, tells blind Nicodemus what he sees. And it's startling. Jesus sees himself on a cross for the same reason Moses put the bronze serpent on a pole in the wilderness. The people had complained that Moses and God were evil. They had brought them out of Egypt for the purpose of killing them in the wilderness. Now, it's a great sin to call good evil. It's an even greater sin to call God evil. They did. And God sent poisonous snakes to bite them. Many of them died. The people repented of speaking against Moses and God and asked God to take away the snakes. He didn't. Instead, he commanded Moses to make a bronze snake, set it on a pole. Everyone who was bitten and looked at it lived. Jesus says that heaven's counsel is that he be hung on a cross so that anyone bitten by sin, death, and the devil may see him and live. Eternal judgment, eternal death is the judgment hanging over all sinners. It's the message that every plane crash, every illness, every economic crisis preaches into the listening soul. You deserve to die in time and eternity for your unbelief, for your sexual sins, for your defense of your sinfulness. But rather than have that ever happen, the Holy Trinity sent the second person into the womb to do, to believe, to live as you cannot. And the thing that saved the Israelites looked like what was killing them. So God made the holy, perfect man Jesus to be sin. All those things you deplore, lament, and can't stand about yourself were placed upon Jesus, and nailed to the cross with him as he suffered, bled, and died to turn God's wrath away from you. Look and live. Look at the mystery of the Trinity, and you will get lost. Look at Jesus crucified, and you are found. But what about the scales, where your evil works far outweigh your good? What does Jesus see in heaven pertaining to this? He tells Nick that the triune God sent the Son into the world to save the world, not to condemn it. Before weighing our sins and good works, the first things the Holy Trinity put on the scales of justice were the world on one side and Jesus on the other. And then the Trinity chose to save the world and damn Jesus. All our evil works were placed on Jesus, and all of his good works were placed on us. What good work did Jesus ever fail to do? What evil work did Jesus not pay for? We will answer for our sins on the last day by pointing to Jesus, even as Israel answered for theirs by pointing to the serpent. What people forget is the Athanasian Creed means to confess there is a day of reckoning, but it isn't meant to tell us how we are to reckon. Jesus does that by telling us the triune God did, does, and wishes to reckon, to count, to see sinners in, by, and through the Son. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.